Welcome to the V Word. I'm your host today, Christy Albus, and I'm sitting here with Paul Ivey, who is a DJ at WRIR and a musician here in Richmond. Paul attended the Women's March in DC on Saturday, and Paul, I wanted you to talk to us about why you went up there and what your feelings were, the vibe, the energy that was in the crowd, and what you think you brought back to Richmond after that march.
Okay, yeah. Why I went was I felt like it was important to send a message to the world that the results of the election did not accurately reflect where most people here in this country are in terms of where we want to go and what type of a society we want to be. And I think that's pretty obvious to people who are not in an argument with reality. The Republicans clearly lost the popular vote, and the system that we have, you know, it has enabled them to assume power regardless of that, and that's just the way it is, and that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but there isn't anything to do about that right now other than to make it clear that there's a majority of folks out here in the United States today that disagree and that really don't have any respect for the person who's become president. And I think it's important to just make that very plain.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk on social media now about, well, you know, you lost, so get over it. It happened. So
well,
what difference are you going to
make?
When
they lost twice definitively, you know, the last Bush, the second, I guess, won the popular vote the second time. But other than that, you know, I think it's been since his dad that they, you know, had a, and really since Reagan, which has been 30 years or whatever now, since they had a really definitive mandate, they are claiming, you know, they claim that every time regardless. But so their response to losing, not that I want to be like them, but their response to losing to Obama was not to argue from the facts, but to make up this ridiculousness about him not having been born here. The argument that we're putting across is actually, you know, factually based and logical. This guy lost the popular vote, you know, and there were any number of problems with what the Democrats did. And I'm not a huge fan of the Democratic Party by any stretch of the imagination, but they are the best option we have at this point. So, you know, I feel like I have to support them when it comes down to it.
What was the vibe like up there, the energy of the
crowd? Well, it was great. It was unlike anything that I've experienced in my life. Coming into D.C., I took a charter bus. I was with my parents, and we parked at RFK, the Armory, and my folks took the metro down to the march, and I decided there was a huge line for the metro, so I didn't want to wait around there, and so I just walked. It wasn't that far. And, you know, walking through the city was really incredible. The residents were, you know, coming out on their lawns. You know, they had signs. There were signs all over with quotes from Reverend King. The people were coming out and greeting us, welcoming us, thanking us for coming. People, you know, opening up their windows, you know, upstairs and calling out. And it was amazing. And just the vibe was incredibly positive, incredibly energized. And it was really a great thing to be a part of.
What do you think people can bring back from this march?
Well, I think that they can bring back an assurance that they're not alone, that that there's a huge majority out there who feels pretty much the same and is very, you know, I don't want to focus on the negative angle too much, and I don't want to focus on the other side, you know, quote unquote, you know, because there isn't another side. There's nothing but humanity, and we're divided in these ways that we have to figure out a way to navigate. But I feel like it was funny to me today to see on social media people saying, "Well, what were they marching for? What were they what do they want? What are they?" And it's like, are you able to read the English language? Are you able to communicate amongst your fellow humans? Because it's pretty simple, mm-hmm. you know.
I think you hit it on the head with just feeling like you're not alone. You're not the only person who feels this way. It was a lot of solidarity.
Yeah, and you know, we don't want to go backwards. We don't want to lose the ground that we've won in the last 50 years or more. You know, we've really made some tremendous strides as a society. Particularly in my lifetime, you know, I was born when it was illegal for a black person and a white person to get married in this state. You know, homosexuality was viewed very differently even when I was a young adult than it is by most people now. And we're not going to go back, but we have what we have. I think the other thing to bring from this, to get from it, is that this past election is not the beginning of something. It is the last gasp of something. It really is, and quite literally. I mean, a lot of those people who made the election of that person possible are not going to be alive the next time there's a presidential election. And, you know, I'm not necessarily celebrating that, but that's just a fact of life. People get older, and people, I think that a lot of those folks they base their responses to what's happening in the world on fear. And, you know, that's understandable. It is a very, if you're 70 years old, if you're 80 years old in America, it's a very different world than it was when you were a child, when you were a young adult, when you were a middle-aged adult. And I can see that that could be frightening. And a lot of the things that you were brought up to believe were wrong are very much accepted now.
Right.
So that, I understand that that's a challenge for those people, but too bad. You know, lots of things are a challenge for me, and, you know, I have to accept them, you know, the results of this election being one of them. And I do accept it. I accept that he's the president now. But I felt like, you know, as positive as the vibe the whole day was, after the march was over, we went to a bar to get something to eat. And, you know, they had on the cable news, and I was watching that. And it was, you know, it was a good reality check. It was like, oh, yeah. We got a lot of work to do, because these people are not going to lay down and you know, they're not going to roll over and play dead. They're very much, you know, they know they're going to lose. I think the ones who are connected to reality, you know, if there are any, you know, and I think there are, I think some of them are pretty intelligent and pretty aware of what the reality is. I think that they know that their time is limited. And that's why, you know, they're really hitting the ground running and trying to do as much damage as they can. They don't view it that way, I'm sure, but it was very interesting to see, you know, the press conference with not press conference, but the performance by Spicer, and to be in a bar where literally the whole place erupted in shouting him down, and you know, the obscenities were flying, and some of them were flying out of my mouth, and it was, you know, The thing that's heartening about it, though, is that these are this is not a formidable enemy. These are small people. These are frightened people, and they're. I don't feel that intimidated. I don't feel intimidated by them at all because they're frightened, and they're petty, and they're really contemptible. You know, that everything that's gone on since the election, you know, and everything that went on leading up to it has just proven over and over again that, you know, the guy in particular is just a very silly, insubstantial person, a person with no, you know, intellectual heft, a person with no very limited understanding of how things work in the world beyond a very limited range of you know, types of activities that he's been involved in his life. He doesn't, you know, this is not a person who's who has a large vision of anything other than himself. And he's a pathetic individual, really.
I saw that large vision of Women's March and
well,
obviously men.
He's,
and
he has a limitless capacity for self-delusion. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's gonna serve him well in terms of, you know, getting through the day, I guess. But he's, you know, what he's going to be able to achieve is going to be very limited, I think, barring him, you know, the corruption becoming very intense in a way that I think even people who are sort of on the sidelines now are probably going to find unacceptable. And I don't think that there's anything that particularly that segment of the right, if you want to call him that, I don't really consider him a real conservative or an ideologue of any kind, really, or a person with, you know, very clear ideas about anything much. But I think their capacity for unethical and immoral behavior is pretty much limitless. And so we have to expect that, and we have to respond to that in ways that are effective. And I think that yesterday was an example of that. I think that, you know, it was peaceful. It was relatively well organized. Once we got into the area where the march, you know, was going on, it was very congested. You couldn't move. You know, I didn't see very many speakers. I saw Angela Davis walking across the street and got to smile and wave at her, and that was fun. But I didn't hear her speak. I saw Scarlett Johansson speak on television at L'Enfant Plaza. I was just, you know, but so I didn't see a lot of it other than, you know, just the people, the huge amounts of people. But I don't know what could have been done to make that better. You know, it was just such a tremendous number of people to accommodate. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Paul, for coming in and giving us your impression of the Women's March. We certainly appreciate your participation in that. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
The V Word is recorded in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM and produced by Carol Olson. You can hear more shows at thevword.org. To keep independent radio alive, to volunteer or donate, go to wrir.org.